If you go through a drive-through at a fast food restaurant, they want to make sure that they heard your order correctly. So they're going to repeat it back to you, right? So you've got hamburger, small fries, a McFlurry. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. You got it right. And so I want couples to do that same thing. Because there's so much miscommunication and misunderstandings. And so I teach couples, somebody comes to you, a partner comes to you and says something, the first thing I want you to say is, what I'm hearing you say is, because not only does it ensure that communication, make sure they got it correct, but it also immediately validates the partner.
This is episode number 596 with Kelly Miller. We're going to be talking about her new book, Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Common Relationship Issues. And I'm excited about this conversation because who doesn't like a hack? Who doesn't like something simple? And who doesn't want to help our relationships? We all have relationship issues, whether we're in a relationship with a romantic partner or even a relationship with your children, your coworkers. We're always in relationships. So I'm excited to bring Kelly on in just a minute. But before that, I want to welcome you back to Last First Date Radio, where we believe it is never too late to go on your last first date. I am Sandy Wiener. I'm a love coach, a dating coach, a relationship coach. I work with mostly women and some men. And I've written two books to support you on your journey to lasting love. The first one is Becoming a Woman of Value, How to Thrive in Life and Love. And I wrote this book because it was actually part of my journey to valuing myself more after my divorce, where I had lost a lot of my value. And it's divided into three sections: show up, stand up, and speak up. And really will help you with your core confidence in those three main important parts of your life. And the second book I wrote the next year, it's called Choice Points in Dating. And I wrote this book because I found so many people believe that they're not at choice when it comes to their romantic partners, how they pick partners. But I am here to tell you that we are at choice for everything from how we think about dating to how we choose our partners, to who we stay with, who we leave, how we date online, offline, all of it. It's really a how-to book on dating. And both of them they're available on Amazon for Kindle or paperback. This week's tip on becoming a woman of value is step number three, be playful. I find that so many of us get so serious when it comes to our relationships and dating. And I see Kelly shaking her head. Yes, it's we forget to be playful. Playfulness is our inner child. It's who we are at our core, and we need to have fun. And so whether you're just beginning to date or you're in a relationship, my challenge to you this week is to make some time for fun. Make some time to laugh. Make some time to just be silly, because silly is fabulous. And before I bring Kelly on, I just wanted to also give a shout out to my Facebook group. It is for women only, women over 40, who are looking to go on their last first date. It's called Your Last First Date. And we are a very, what do I say, boundaried group. It's very rare to find in the single women groups that are out there to have a group that is actually focused on positive growth. We don't allow people to come in and bash men or bash dating or just come in and complain. We have strict guidelines as to the kindness that you show to other people and to yourself. And so if you're looking for a highly supportive, very positive group, come and join us at Your Last First Date. And now for my awesome guest, Kelly Miller. She's a psychotherapist, a best-selling author, and a radio host. She's the author of a new book. It's a couples relationship book called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. And she's also an award-winning best-selling author of Thriving with ADHD, which I wish I had when I was raising my daughter. She was a relationship host on Balance by Nature TV, and she's currently a writer and relationship host for WikiHow. She also was co-host on LA Talk Radio with over a million listeners. Very impressive. 250 guest celebrities and authors, and an expert radio personality for SiriusXM Radio. She was the women's relationship expert on the examiner.com and recently was quoted in Oprah magazine in 3 separate articles on relationships. Ah, welcome to the podcast, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me, Sandy. I love what you do. And thank you so much for everything you do for women and for men. It's wonderful. Oh,
thank you. I'm like exhausted reading your bio. There's so much impressive stuff in there.
Oh, thank you.
Well, so let's talk about this new book. I love the title. I think, you know, it's such a great thing to have created some hacks to make it easier for couples. And so let's start with, why is it so hard now?
Yes.
You're saying it's harder than a decade ago for couples.
Yes.
What's going on?
I think there's so many more distractions, right? And it's something like this with the phone that they've done studies, even having a phone out on a date makes people feel less attended to. So I think we're just constantly getting bings and texts and things, and we're just not having that quality time that we used to. So I'm a big proponent of, when you are with somebody on a date or in a relationship, that you have a no phone zone or a no computer zone, and you just focus on each other, because we're missing that piece. It's so tempting to, oh, I got to do this, or I got a work call, or somebody's texting, and then we're missing out on our partners.
I mean, I hear this all the time. When I first started dating after my divorce, I remember a man taking his phone and putting it away and like being deliberate about it. Mm-hmm. And I was so impressed. I'm here with you. I'm putting this away.
Exactly. Yes, I love that. And I wish everybody would do that. I mean, yeah. I've seen couples, it's really funny. I go out to dinner, I've seen couples, they're both on their phone at the dinner table together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wonder if they're texting each other. Are they just texting other people? Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, you know? Whole families. Like, nobody's talking to each other anymore. We had I go to Toastmasters on Tuesday nights, and a man got up and talked about this. He said, my wife, I could be talking to her, but I'm on my phone, and I got yelled at tonight for doing that. So he was committing to staying off his phone.
That's
when
good.
He was with her. Yeah, it was really wonderful.
Well, and to normalize, I mean, it's so normal. Like, it's very tempting, right? It really is. And then you feel like you have to kind of keep up. So yeah, I mean, it's tough, but you have to make that commitment. That's what I heard you say, which is very true.
Absolutely. A lot of couples stop having sex. And I know that, you know, if you've been in a long-term relationship, sex can be a little bit less exciting. I'm currently writing my third book, and it's about couples who found love later in life. And I've had a lot of interviews with couples, some who I've worked with. Mm-hmm. And one of them was saying that after 4.5 years, it's still really exciting. And that has to do with the fact that they don't live together, that they have their own place. And that kind of adds to the excitement of getting together again. So I'm wondering what your tips are for dealing with issues around sex.
Sure. So we all should live separately from our partner. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Hey, you get in your place, I'll get in mine. The main thing that I've seen is resentments. So I think we hold on to some resentments in our partnerships. They may even be unconscious. And I think that creates a little bit of that wall. So to me, the only way out is through. So if you are feeling upset about something or resentment, I want you to communicate with your partner about it. Work it through, because if you feel emotionally safe, then you're going to be able to be more physically safe. So that's sort of the emotional side. And then, yeah, then you have the other piece, which is, sure, it's not as exciting as it once was. So what does that mean? Okay, we need to make it more exciting, right? I think it's so easy to say, oh, I don't feel like going out tonight, or nah, I don't need to dress up. He or she's seen me look good. I don't really, and no. You got to make that effort. You got to put on something nice, because if you feel good, then it's going to translate. And I tell couples also, do those adrenaline fun activities, because doing those activities brings you closer. So if you can do like rock climbing or a roller coaster, or, you know, something out of your comfort zone, even something different, doesn't even have to be scary, but like, okay, let's do, you know, silk scarf making, let's do, you know, something so different. Cause then it reconnects the couple. That excitement brings back some of that liveliness. And finally, you know, a lot of times people have not had sex for so long, it feels so overwhelming. And I get that. And so one thing I recommend is sensate focus therapy, which I detail in Love Hacks, but it's a technique that focuses on sensation rather than sex. So the goal is not to have an orgasm or to finish. It's really to kind of experiment with each other, you know, notice textures and, you know, the temperature of somebody's skin and all of those things, which can bring back some of that connection that's missing in relationships.
Those are great tips. I think that any couple, I mean, this can happen pretty early on in a relationship that people build resentments.
If you're in a partnership or even, you know, if you're thinking about a partnership, that's where, you know, don't let it get to that point, right? Talk to your partner. Hey, what happened? Upset me? Or can we talk this through? Instead of what I'm hearing is like, hey, I'm going to hold the power, right? I'm going to hold the power over your head and I'm going to refrain from something. It's like, no. If you can just talk it through, then you both are team again. Right. And I think we're so focused on being individual, like, okay, let's be the best. And I want to make my point. And I have to remind couples, you're a unit, right? Mm-hmm. There's no, you know, you win first place at being the best couple, not at being an individual. So I think it's so good to talk about those really tough things that are hurting you and upsetting you.
Yeah. I think people definitely lose sight of the big picture and their, when their ego gets hurt and they just want to feel better themselves, but don't realize the effect it has on the relationship.
Correct. I think you're right. Or it's afterward. It's like, no, remember beforehand.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you were talking about communication. I know you have a term, fast food communication method. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. So if you noticed, if you go through a drive-thru at a fast food restaurant, they want to make sure that they heard your order correctly. So they're going to repeat it back to you and they even will show it on the screen, right? So you've got hamburger, small fries, a McFlurry. And it's like, okay, yeah, you're right. You got it right. And so I want couples to do that same thing. Because there's so much miscommunication and misunderstandings. And so I teach couples, if somebody comes to you, a partner comes to you and says something, the first thing I want you to say is, what I'm hearing you say is, because not only does it ensure that communication, make sure they got it correct, but it also immediately validates the partner, right? So I think we're so quick to defend and say, you know, no, I wasn't late, you know, but pausing and saying, okay, what I'm hearing you say is you're upset that I came home late. Then that partner immediately, the defenses go down and then they're able to just sort of calm down and they're more receptive to what you say afterward. And so I think it's a really good tool to prevent those misunderstandings and to make your partner feel seen and heard immediately. And it also slows just emotions down in general. When we have kind of a structure, it's like, okay, I got to follow this plan rather than like immediately sort of fire back. And so I think it works well with couples.
It's a really good analogy, I think. People are very quick to react and get defensive. Just being able to pause, to validate, to make a person feel heard, is everything. You know, so much of what happens in relationships is people feel you're not hearing me, you're just defending yourself, and I need you to just listen. So put the phone down, listen.
Exactly. Right, exactly. Yes, I mean, I hear that constantly, right? My partner's not listening to me. And that's one of the chapters in Love Hacks, because I think there's confusion even around that. Because I think, you know, there's a big difference between hearing and listening. Hearing is what we do involuntarily. You hear the doorbell ring, you hear the dog bark. Listening is intentive. It's you are focused, right, on what your partner's saying. So I think that's when partners are saying that, they're really saying like, I need you to concentrate on what I'm saying. I don't want you to just hear it. I want you to actually tell me you've heard what I'm saying. You understand. And then they feel taken care of and seen and all of that.
Yeah. And it eliminates so many misunderstandings.
Right.
Which happen when people text each other important conversations, when they don't ask what's going on. I just recently did a video about when you're dating and the man starts to pull away. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he just needs space and sometimes he's losing interest, but you don't know and you start to make up stories. So even if he isn't maybe he's just busy with work, by the time he gets back to you, you're already so pissed off that it's probably going to be the end of the relationship.
Yes.
You know, it's just so we can sabotage at any stage if we do not tune in. This is so important.
I'm so glad you said that, because it's very true. We can create that own narrative in our head And so another thing that I talk about in Love Hacks is assuming positive intentions from our partners, right? Because I think you're right. We go to that place of like, oh, they're not interested in me. They don't care about me. I'm not important. And if we just reframe that, okay, maybe it's possible they're really busy. They do care about me. And okay, let me think about yesterday, how they bought me flowers or, right? So reframing that helps so much. And if you can't do positive intent, which I know is hard, even neutral, like, okay, I don't know, but I'm not going to make a negative assumption. I'm just going to kind of remain neutral here. And that helps significantly. And I always tell partners too, be inquisitive, right? I'd rather partners ask, hey, I'm creating a story in my head that you're just not into me anymore. Am I right? Am I wrong? Rather than that just base assumption, which could be totally off.
Curiosity is key. And yeah, I love the positive intention, assume positive intent. It's, I say it with dating, it's rule them in until they rule themselves out, you know, because they probably will at some point, but at least what most people do is they look at something surface that has nothing to do with character. And they just assume the worst.
It's so easy to kind of go in the horse blinders, you know? And I think it comes from fear, right? We need to be careful, right? That person is not our past, and we need to give them a brand new opportunity.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Amazon Music Unlimited. You can listen to over 70 million songs and thousands of playlists and stations. Plus, you can now stream your favorite podcasts, like Last First Date Radio. You can listen to any song, anytime, anywhere, on any of your devices. Get Amazon Music Unlimited for free for 30 days. Just head on over to getamazonmusic.com/lastfirstdate to learn more and claim this offer. Let's actually segue into when people bring their past into the relationship, trauma, any kind of anger issues, addictions, it happens. So what do you recommend?
Yeah, so I love the quote, if it's not one thing, it's a mother. We all have, right? All these, you know, childhood things and that, you know, we all have that baggage, right? And I think the first step is just awareness around it. Okay, I know I get triggered when. And so another one of my favorite quotes is, when it's hysterical, it's historical. So if you are feeling something really strongly, chances are it's not about the present situation. It's about something from the past. So for example, with the woman you just told me about, there's a possibility that, you know, someone wasn't showing up for her all the time, or she didn't feel like a priority. And so it's really tuning in like, oh, okay, where does that feeling come from? Oh, okay. Yeah. That was my dad. He never showed up. Okay. I got to make sure that I'm not projecting this onto my partner. So that first step is awareness of really tuning into what you're feeling, what you're getting triggered about, and then owning it and acknowledging. And if you feel safe telling your partner, right? Or telling this new relationship, hey, just a heads up, sometimes I get triggered when people are late. This is my own stuff. I'm working on it, right? And then that sets accountability too, where you're really, you know, you're trying. The partner knows, your date knows, like, okay, that's great. She's aware of it. She's on it. And I will be more sensitive, right, to what she's going through.
I love those two quotes. If it's not one thing, it's a mother.
Right. So funny. I'm
watching The Sopranos for the first time. And have you ever watched it?
I love that series. It's great.
Amazing. So, you know, psychology 101 here with his mother being so narcissistic and so manipulative, and every woman that he goes for is just playing out the same scenario, and he doesn't get it for a long time. And it's just that moment when he's like, oh my God, I've known you my entire life. You're my mother.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, sometimes it's not quite that obvious, but it's there. You know, we repeat history until we heal history. Yes. And I think we really need to be aware of the triggers, aware of where they came from, so we can begin to heal them and not take them out on somebody else. You know, it's so obvious. Like, I remember even with my kids, when one of my kids would be hungry and they get hangry, and I'd be like, I have nothing to do with that. And don't take it out on me.
Yes. Oh, I need to hear this reminder. I've got two kids who get very hangry. Yes. But it's hard not to, right? You do, you immediately take it personally. And then it's like, okay, that's their stuff. I'm just gonna, again, neutral. And yeah, I mean, it's tough, but it takes two people, right? So it takes the person who's going through it. And then the other person, okay, my role is not to take this on, and that's their stuff.
Yeah. Which brings me to timeouts. You say they're not just for kids.
Yes,
I
yes.
remember putting my kids in timeout. And I think we misunderstood timeouts in my generation, where we would put the kid in there for punishment, but it's actually a timeout is something we all need because it helps us to get that pause and not be reactive. So I'd love to hear how
Sure.
timeouts apply to couples.
Yes. So it's exactly what you said. I think it used to be much more punitive. And I think that's why even hearing it, I think sometimes people are like, oh, but it's really a recentering, right? And it sounds kind of woo-woo, like, but you know, if you can, if even for, I'll start with the kids, right? You make this really calm environment where they can just sort of regulate again, and it'll pay dividends, right? And so it's the same thing with couples where you're going to get heated, you're going to get escalated. That's normal. We all do it. But it's recognizing, hey, we're not being fruitful here. We're not hearing each other. We're yelling. We're getting angry. Let's have a time out where we both can kind of just decompress, and then we can hear each other again. I think that's the problem, is like people forget, like when you're yelling at your partner, their defenses are way up. They're not receptive to what you're saying. So it's really a win-win if we can take those timeouts, because both people win, right? You both calm down, and then the message can get across a lot more clearly. And so, yeah, so I recommend, you know, if you imagine a scale of 1 to 10, and 10 being you're so angry, and 1, you're so calm, I say when you're getting to about a 6 or a 7, to start having those timeouts. And it is early, but I'd rather people start early with those timeouts than late, because immediately one comment can put you at a 10, right? So I'd rather them just be aware of it. Okay, I'm starting, my face is getting flushed. I'm clenching my wrists. I'm clenching my jaw. I'm angry, like I feel it. And now it's time to have a timeout so that I don't reach that level. And then once you have that timeout for a few hours, then you reconvene and you talk about it. And I always say the person who calls the timeout is the person who then says, okay, it's been a few hours, let's reconvene. We don't want to just leave it, with nothing. No, you're going to come back and talk about this conversation, but it's once you both are calm.
This is the part that I think a lot of people get wrong. I totally agree with you that we need to self-regulate before we end up taking it out on the other person. First of all, some people feel rejected when you want a timeout. Like they'll feel abandoned.
Yes.
And so that's one trigger that happens
Right.
during timeouts. The other is the people who don't come back or don't give you the end. And I was working with a woman who I'm actually going to be officiating at her wedding
Oh, I love
for the
that.
first time. Very excited.
Wow.
But when they first started being really seriously dating, his way of dealing with anger was very different from hers. And he would take himself away, like just say, "I have to leave. I don't trust myself right now." I think he wasn't really like explosive. He just had been in bad relationships where there was a lot of explosivity. And so he would take the night and just like leave and not tell her when he was coming back. So I said to her, because she had a fear of abandonment, I said to her, "You need to talk to him about communicating better, about when he's coming back, why he's leaving, all those things so that you
Sure.
don't get triggered." And they were able to work it out over time. But then I also know people who this woman escalates every conversation they have and can go on for an hour and a half. I mean, I'm working with the man in this couple, and it's just awful. And he needs to take timeouts, and he's
Sure.
afraid to because it escalates even more because of
Right.
her fear of abandonment. So what would you do to advise this couple?
Yeah, I'm so glad you brought this up, because that is really common. So I think if they can come up with a term that helps her, right? So it's like, hey, I'm still in this with you, but it's important we have a timeout, right? So that's gonna wake her up. Okay, he's not leaving. We're in this together. We just need a timeout, or right, I'm not leaving you, but we do need a timeout, you know, whatever it is that would work for her. And so I would ask them both what works for the two of them in those moments. And that will calm her down to then be able to. And then also talking about why it's important to have those timeouts again and how it's not a rejection of her personally, and kind of a little bit of psychoeducation around that, I think, could help her. But I think the primary is that immediate kind of little phrase that can just sort of put her at ease is going to make a big difference.
Yeah, I love that. With my ADD daughter, we used to get into fights all the time in high school, and she would say some really awful things to me. And I would take a time out because I didn't want to lose it with her. I wanted to make sure that I stayed calm and didn't say something I'd regret. And so I said that. I would say, I'm going to take a time out now so I don't say something that I will regret. And I'll let you know when I'm calmer.
Yeah.
And so just stating that, you know, I love you and I don't want to say something mean because I'm angry. That's the responsible thing to do.
Well, it's such great modeling, right? For our kids, for our partners. It's, you know, it's like, hey, I'm learning to control myself, and this will be helpful for our relationship. Yeah. So then the next time the partner can hear that, oh yeah. You know, last time they were able to do it. Okay, I can do that too. It's great.
What is your number one recommendation to rekindle connection when it's lost?
Yeah. So I think for me personally, it's getting vulnerable, and it sounds so counterintuitive. It's like, wait, what? We're not even close. And it's like, okay, but something's missing here. Right. So it's getting vulnerable and saying like, hey, I feel like we've lost each other a little bit here. How can we connect again? Or is there something that I can do to help you feel more connected to me? Or stating what you need. Hey, it would really mean a lot to me if you, you know, plan some date nights for us, right? So it's really getting vulnerable and honest, because that's what true relationships are about. It's about that authenticity. It's about that honesty. It's all about that. Otherwise, you're just creating a wall and you're not having a real authentic relationship. So I think that's kind of the start of those difficult conversations and feeling connected to our partners.
Vulnerability is so important. And I think it's great that you share some scripts, because telling somebody I miss being with you, or I miss our connection, or I miss the talks we used to have, or sitting with you at night, whatever it is so much nicer than, why are you doing this to me?
You're right. Well, I think, and it's funny, I talk about that in Love Hacks, the you statements versus the I statements, right? We're very quick to point the finger and say, you did this and you did that. And I want to teach couples again, it's a simple language. It's, I feel upset when you've come home late, or, you know, when this happens. And so it's taking responsibility for our own feelings, and the other person's not feeling blamed. And it's a new language to learn, but it's so much easier on the ears. And our partners will be like, oh, okay, she's upset, right? I can have compassion for that, rather than, oh, I'm blamed, I'm criticized, I'm bad. And then the partner goes into shame. And so, yeah, I think you make a really solid point.
And partners do go into shame because of past trauma too. So it's like, exactly, any little thing can be misinterpreted as criticism. And so using I statements, making it vulnerable, is definitely the way to go. I love that. Kelly, I have one more question for you. This is a question I ask everyone. What are your final words of advice for anyone who wants to go on their last first date?
Oh, I love that. Wow. I love what you do. I really do. So I think it's being open, right? And I know we talked about that in the session, but it's so true. It's really committing. I'm going to be open, right? I'm going to surrender. I think I get it. It's so exhausting to date and it's frustrating, but it's saying, okay, you know what? On this date, I'm going to be open. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to let go of the outcomes. I'm going to bring some silliness and joy in. And you know, and enjoy. The worst case scenario is I learn something from this, right? So it's going in knowing that, and being accepting and loving. And I think that'll make a big difference.
I love that. I think that so many people go in with, I hope that person is the one. Right. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time. And I certainly did that for a lot of my dating years. Mm-hmm. And I think being open, having a growth mindset, knowing that whatever happens is a learning experience. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you are tired of learning, but...
Right, exactly. I've learned enough.
But bringing your past trauma, bringing your walls, hoping that somebody can cut through all the walls and yes. the fears, that's exhausting. And you don't want to do it with somebody else. So model yes. what you would like. And, you know, I think openness begets more openness. And so sure. I have my clients prepare questions and answers, actually, questions that would actually bring you to a more vulnerable conversation rather than, mm-hmm. for example, what do you do for a living, which is the most boring question.
Yeah.
I would ask, what do you love about what you do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, what's the best part of your day so far? Like just mm-hmm. simple things. What do you do when you're not here? You know, when you're right. not working? You know, what were you like as a child? Like, I want to know stuff like that.
I love that. Yeah, I'd go on a date with you, Sandy.
Good, I'll go on a date with you.
It'd be fun. We'd have a great time. No, but I mean, I think you're spot on, because if you think about it, if people are going on multiple dates, right, it's exhausting to answer that same question. So if you're putting that little spin on it, it does. It makes it more exciting just by default. Oh, okay, that's a different question. I haven't thought about it that way. I like that a lot. And also to add to one thing I said, I think it's also being patient, which is so hard, especially if you've been dating for so long. But I think it's having that little bit of trust, right? Knowing like, okay, this is going to happen for me. It will, you know, and I have to just trust the timing of that, which is so incredibly hard because we want to take control of it. But it's, you know, whatever your spiritual outlook is or the universe, but just knowing like somebody out there is taking care of me. This will happen for me. I just have to be patient.
That's such an important message. People don't realize it's not if, it's when. And so that if you believe there are people out there that you would be a good match for, and you mm-hmm. would miss them if you were 5 minutes late and somebody right. criticized you for
yes.
that.
Yep.
I mean, the crazy things that people dismiss people for, and often it's just mm-hmm. opening up those parameters and being open to the person, not the type, not the thing that you had in mind that you've been looking for your whole life, which has mm-hmm. not gotten you what you wanted and what right. you needed.
Yeah.
So just trust, have patience, be open, commit to surrender. Anything I haven't asked you, Kelly, that you would like to share?
I think the only last thing I want to say is if you are in a partnership, it's that same patience within the relationship. I think couples now are so quick to end. We're in a society that's instant gratification. I want something, I'm going to order it. It's going to come tomorrow, right? Things are not working in my relationship. I'm done. It's over. I'm frustrated. And so I want to teach people to ride the storm. And that's so important because there's so many lessons within that storm in itself. But I think we're so uncomfortable with discomfort that we want it to end. And so I just want couples to really recognize, okay, yeah, this is not fun. This is uncomfortable, but I need to work through it. And that's the learning. And that's where the growth is.
And there's so much reward at the end of that.
Yes, exactly. For sure.
Such incredible advice. I think that so many people become impatient and then they just keep repeating these patterns over and over. They'll just find another partner to do the same thing with. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I think it's that idea, this person can't help me, rescue me. I'm going to go for somebody else. I'm like, no, it's within you. So work through it for sure.
Yeah. Well, this has been an incredible conversation and I would love for you to share your website with our sure. audience.
Sure. So I'm at Kelly Miller Therapy, and it's Kelly with an I. And I also have Instagram, which is the same, Kelly Miller Therapy, and Facebook, simple enough, Kelly Miller Therapy. Okay. And I welcome all communications and I love hearing from people. So yeah, I'd love to hear from everybody.
Awesome. And get the book, and just got released when this came out. This was like launch time.
Yes.
So it's called Love Hacks, Simple Solutions to Your Most Common Relationship Issues. We will have a link to the book in the show notes, as well as all your social media. And thank you so much, Kelly. This has been an amazing conversation. Yeah. So helpful, so clear, practical, doable. And I think that you just bring such incredible gifts to people who are struggling in relationships.
Thank you so much. You're such a delight. I feel like we could go to lunch. We'd have a ball. Yes. Thank you so much.
It's a date. Really,
yes, I'd love it. Thank you so much.
And thanks everybody for listening. If you love our show, please give us a high rating on Apple Podcasts. Share the podcast with everybody who would benefit from it. And as always, here's to your last first date. If you are ready to get unstuck, gain new tools, become more empowered, and finally find your last first date, I'd love to talk to you. Fill out an application to be considered for a complimentary half-hour love breakthrough session at lastfirstdate.com/application.